Chapter 80. The Head of the Hound. There was a flat parcel at the bottom of the pile, and Mr. G opened it first, cutting the string with his cord knife. Carved from the femur of Marchioness Frewsborough, recovered from the gibbet by one of her acolytes. He peeled back the thick brown paper and lifted out a white letter bearing a gold and red crest of a shield, topped by the head of a greyhound, and subtitled with a blue scroll bearing the words Deo Dante Dedi.
Charterhouse School, he informed me, letting the letter skim through the air to alight face up on the green leather seat of his swivel chair.
There was a second parcel inside the main one, and my godfather unwrapped it, smoothing the creases from each of the five layers of paper as he went along, eventually uncovering a photograph in a frame.
They cannot think I would want to hang it on my wall, he grumbled, lifting it out and laying it under his desk lamp.
I peered over. It was the image of a youth in a dark blazer and light baggy trousers and a white shirt, the collar so wide that it overlapped his lapels. A peaked cap cast a flimsy veil of shadow over his eyes. Eric C. Bocking, I read from the tiny brass plaque on the mahogany frame. Charterhouse School, middleweight boxing champion, 1876. Eric had his chin up and was holding a trophy about the size of a silver egg cup in both hands at chest level.
Oh, I said.
There is more eloquence in that syllable than in half an hour of your usual babble, my guardian told me. For once I would like your silly female opinion.
I am only sorry that I do not have one with which to oblige you, I sniped. But if you would like a reasoned feminine judgment, he is not at all what I expected. Lucy said he was beautiful.
It may be a bad photograph, and I do not like to be unkind, but this boy is distinctly ugly.
I picked up his second favourite magnifying glass and took a longer look, but could find no reason to revise my opinion. Though he was sturdily built, Eric Bocking's face was not attractive. His nose, arising from between small round eyes, curved sigmoidally towards a snubbed tip with upturned nostrils over thin lips, parted in an arrogant smirk, to reveal two upper central incisors severely splayed and twisted.
Not plain, then?
My godfather checked. Not even in a bad light, I said guiltily, for I had endured enough barbs about my own looks not to wish to insult another's. No wonder Freddy did not encourage him.
Age him, Sidney Grice suggested, taking the glass off me and substituting his third choice. Give him a hard life and a poor diet. Take off his cap and dress him in shabby clothes.
I screwed up my eyes and tried to imagine a greying of the pallid complexion, a drooping of the mouth, some bagging below those haughty piglet eyes.
Who have you now? Mr. G. urged.
It cannot be. I lowered the lens, and the image jumped out at me, leering horribly from under that cap. Johnny the Walrus Wallace.
Indeed.
And Sidney Grice prized the handle of his magnifying glass from my fingers as if I were a corpse. His fingers, I noticed, were as cold as if he were one himself.